Is anybody a fan of Jeopardy, the game show? Anybody like to watch Jeopardy? When I was in college and right after college, I loved Jeopardy. Actually, me and a couple of friends would watch Jeopardy together. Pretty lame, I know, for a college student. But we'd get together in the afternoon and watch Jeopardy. I used to love Jeopardy. I would love when I could. There was those moments where I was keeping up with those really brilliant people on Jeopardy. And felt really good about myself. And then the best thing, if you've ever experienced this, you know it, is when all of them are stumped, but you know the answer. I love that when I watch Jeopardy. So I was a huge fan. I used to watch Jeopardy all the time. And just recently, I watched an episode of Jeopardy again. And I hadn't done that for years and years. It's just on a time of day that I'm always busy. But I happened to be home. I'm like, oh, Jeopardy, I'm going to watch Jeopardy. And as I was watching it, and as I was listening to all the questions, I couldn't help but think one thing to myself. Who cares? I was listening to all these questions about all these things, and I used to be so into this. And this time, I watched it and thought to myself, who cares about any of this stuff? And the reason is, when I was in college especially, and then continued into my Master's of Divinity, I took great pride in having this vast knowledge of all these different areas and all these different things. And now, you know, 20 years later, I realized that I didn't use any of that in life. I mean, there's pieces here and there. There's things that I needed to know. But the vast majority of the things that I knew on Jeopardy, I haven't used. And honestly, I don't know them anymore. I don't know as many answers as I used to, even though I have much more education than I did back then. Because on a daily basis, I just didn't use those things. Now, I don't want you to point any fingers this morning, because I don't want anybody being embarrassed. But we all have those friends or family members who are a storehouse of useless information. You know those people, right? And again, don't point to the person next to you. But the truth is, there's so much to be known and so much information out there. And we always have to kind of ask ourselves the question, who cares? Is it useless? Is this pointless? Is it important to know? Now, the reason I bring that up today is because I never want my sermons to fall into the category of useless information. I hope to bring lots of information to you. I hope to educate on Sunday mornings, but I hope to do so much more than that. Now, the reason that comes up this Sunday is because we've spent the last 4 weeks in John chapter 9. And what we've been talking about is, who is Jesus? We've been trying to determine who is Jesus. We even had Mark take one Sunday and take us back to the book of Isaiah to look at us looking forward to the Messiah and the Messiah coming. And so for a whole chapter, we've been asking those questions. Who is this Jesus guy? He was even basically on trial when the blind man was on trial in chapter 9 about who is this Jesus? Who is this guy that heals the blind? And so that's the question that we answered in chapter 9. And today we're beginning chapter 10, and we have to ask ourselves, okay, Jesus is the Messiah. He's, you know, the Son of God, Son of Man, God in the flesh, the one who's came to save. We know who Jesus is now. So the question is, so what? What does that mean for us? What does that mean for me today? And that's what we get in chapter 10. That's what Jesus teaches us in John chapter 10. Now, in chapter 10, we have a whole bunch of I am statements. You remember in the book of John, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. He'll say twice in this chapter. I am the good shepherd. He'll say twice in this chapter. And what Jesus is doing here is he's explaining who he is, but more importantly, what that means for you and I, what difference that makes in our daily life. And so today we're going to look at John chapter 10, and we're going to look at the first 10 verses. Now, throughout chapter 10, Jesus refers to you and I as sheep, which is not incredibly flattering. You know, we think of sheep as these cute little animals, you know, but think about the actual animal kingdom. And sheep are stinky, they're not very smart, they are not powerful, they can't protect themselves. I would love it if Jesus said, you are all my lions or my eagles, you know, something majestic and grand, but we're sheep. We're sheep. And so that's what he's going to refer to us as all throughout chapter 10. But what we're going to see today in chapter 10, and the title of the message today, is the benefits of being sheep. the benefits of being sheep. And that's what we're going to be talking about this week and probably in a couple weeks to come. So let's look at John chapter 10. We'll look at the first 10 verses. Jesus says, "I assure you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the door but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own outside, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't recognize the voice of strangers." Jesus gave them this illustration, but they did not understand what he was telling them. So Jesus said again, "I assure you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it in abundance." The three things I want to look at today, the three benefits of being sheep, is that we receive guidance, confidence, and abundance. Guidance, confidence, and abundance from our shepherd. And hopefully, my goal today is that by the end, understanding who Jesus is has incredible implications for every day of our lives. It is useful information for every single day of our lives. So let's jump in. Let's look at the idea of guidance. Jesus begins by giving an illustration, kind of telling a parable to the people, and I'll read it for you again. He says, "I assure you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the door but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own outside, he goes on ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't recognize the voice of strangers." Jesus gave them this illustration, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Now, Jesus begins the passage here with one of his amen, amen statements. If you remember, we've talked about this in John several times. In the NIV, it says, "I tell you the truth." In the Holman Christian that I read, he says, "I assure you." The old King James is, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." And if you remember what that means, when Jesus begins a phrase that way, that's sit up, pay attention, you can take this to the bank. This is something you can be sure of. And so that's the way he starts this teaching, this illustration about the sheep and the shepherd. Now, we're probably not real familiar with Middle Eastern shepherds. They do things a little differently than we do things here in America. They don't drive their sheep like we drive cattle. They don't work their sheep with a sheepdog like we do here or like they do in Australia so often. They call out to their sheep, and their sheep recognize their voice, and then they follow them. That's the way they shepherd to this day in the Middle East. They can even walk up. They have communal pens outside of towns, these large structures, and all the shepherds keep their sheep in there overnight. And any shepherd can walk up to the pen, and he can call out to his sheep, and his sheep will separate themselves from the rest of that flock and will follow the shepherd out to the pasture. That's the way that they shepherd. And so that's the illustration that Jesus is giving us. The best ones can even lead specific sheep by calling that sheep by name. That sheep knows its name and will listen to the shepherd's voice and follow him. To get a picture of this, I found a video I want to show you. And as we watch this, listen really carefully to the shepherd and to the sheep.
Come here, come here, come here. come, Neil.
So one thing I love about that video when I found it is that it's perfectly silent. There's all the fog out there and you can't hear a thing. And the moment he calls, instantly you hear the sheep. And they're a long ways off. It took them a while to get there, didn't it? And I love that the sheep come and they come how? Running. They're not reluctantly, well, the shepherd's calling, we better get over there. They come running to the shepherd, excited that he's there and excited to see him. I was reading one of my commentaries this week, and it was from a man who's a scholar in Greek and Hebrew and the Bible, and he taught for a long time in the area of Jerusalem. And I wanted to read to you his firsthand account. He says, having taught in Israel, two illustrations have become seared in my memory concerning Eastern shepherds and their sheep. Of the two pictures, one is that of a shepherd leading his sheep through the city of Jerusalem, just outside the Jaffa Gate. Cars were whizzing by while the shepherd sang and gently whistled to his sheep, and they dutifully followed him despite all of the bustling traffic nearby. The other picture is that of an early morning with the Bedouins, when the shepherds began to lead their sheep out of the sheepfold, which contained the combined flocks of four shepherds. As each shepherd took his turn and began to sing and call to his sheep, they dutifully separated from the larger flock and began to follow him into the hills for their daily feeding. That's the illustration that Jesus chooses to talk about you and I and our relationship to the shepherd. And this is one of the advantages of being sheep. We don't hunt or gather. We're not in charge of our own sustenance. We don't have to carve out our own way in life. We have guidance every single day. We have the voice of the shepherd who calls to us, who leads us to green pastures, and cares for us. That guidance is one of the great benefits of being a sheep. Now, if you notice, Jesus at this point has not yet mentioned himself. He just gives an illustration about sheep and shepherds. And then verse 6 is hilarious. I don't know if you picked it up. But verse 6 says that the people didn't understand what he was talking about. So think about that for a minute. Jesus just said, the sheep know the shepherd. They recognize his voice. They listen to him and they follow him. And the people's response is, what are you talking about? We don't understand. We're not hearing this. We're not following. And that's their response in verse 6. So Jesus goes on like a good shepherd and leads us and shows us even more clearly what he's talking about. Let's look at verses 7 through 9 and the confidence of being sheep. So Jesus again said, I assure you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. Now, Jesus again begins this passage with, amen, amen, I assure you, truly, truly, I say unto you, sit up and pay attention because this is something that you can bank on. And it seems a little confusing at first because Jesus now says, I'm the door. In the illustration, he's clearly the shepherd. Now he says, I'm the door. And here in a few verses next week, he's going to say, I am the shepherd again. So what is he? Is he a door or a shepherd? Well, actually, the two are not mutually exclusive. In the ancient world, they would build their sheep pens of high block walls. And then the top would have briars planted around it to keep people from crawling in and out of the sheep pen. But there was one entrance in and out of the sheep pen. And most of the times, unless it was a really nice sheep pen, it didn't have a door or a gate. It was just a break in the wall. And so at night, the shepherds, four or five, six of them, would all put their flocks in the pen, and one shepherd would stay there and sleep in the doorway. And he would sleep there all night long to make sure that no one got into the sheep and none of the sheep got away. And so the shepherd was quite literally the door to the sheep pen. And so that's what Jesus is talking about. So Jesus makes a contrast here. He says, if there's anyone in the sheep pen that's not the shepherd, you can be guaranteed that person is a thief or a robber. Now, why is that important? What's the difference between a thief and the shepherd when it comes to the sheep? Remember, we're the sheep. That's our perspective. A thief comes for their own good. A thief is selfish. A thief is there to get something from you in order to make his life easier and better and whatever he wants it to be. A thief is self-centered. Now think of the picture of the shepherd giving up his whole night, sleeping in the doorway of a brick pen. Why? Everything the shepherd does is for the sheep. That's the contrast. The thief does everything for himself. He'll do anything he needs to destroy the sheep in order to get what he wants. The shepherd is the opposite. He will sacrifice himself in order to keep his sheep safe. And that picture, that contrast, is where the confidence comes in. That's where we get confidence. We can be confident that we are safe because our shepherd is in the doorway. Our shepherd is the one protecting us, the one who would give his life for us. Our shepherd is here, and he is the one who lets us in and out and keeps us safe from the thieves. And I love that part of that verse, and they can go in and come out and find pasture. That's a freedom to live your life. That's what that is. That's a freedom to go out and live your life, to move about this world, not being afraid, not being scared. Not being worried. Why? Because the shepherd is here. And when you lay down, he will keep you safe. And when you get up, he will bring you to green pastures. He is the door. And all who enter through him can go in and out and find safety and peace and confidence to live our daily lives. I'm sure most of us have probably been at a place in life where we wake up and we live in fear. It's not a good place to be. If you've been there, you know what it's like. With Christ as the door, we don't have to live in fear. We can live in confidence. We can go in and come out. We can live our lives. We can look for green pastures because we know that he is the shepherd. He is the door. He is the one keeping us safe. And this truth prepares us then for the next amazing truth of who Jesus is. And that comes in verse 10. Jesus says, a thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that you may have life and have it in abundance. Now, I'm not going to lie. I've been looking forward to getting to this verse for the last year and a half since we started John. This is what you might call a life verse of mine. John 10:10 is a verse that I recall probably daily in my life. It's a passage that's really important to me, so I've been excited to get here in our study of John. This verse, what it does is it clarifies and it intensifies that contrast that we just talked about. Remember, we talked about the difference between the shepherd and the thief. And Jesus now makes that abundantly clear. This time, we don't have a group of thieves or a group of robbers. We have a thief. Some of your Bibles might even say the thief. We have one thief, and he comes to steal and kill and destroy. Now, this is important. There should be no mistake here today that our enemy, the thief, Satan, wants nothing more than to steal our joy and our peace. He wants nothing more than to kill our confidence and our security. And he wants nothing more than to destroy our eternity with our shepherd. He comes to steal and kill and destroy. That is why he is here. All the sins that we desire to commit, all the things that we get upset with God when he says no to them, just like little kids. I don't know how many times Being a father has really taught me a lot about God. Because I don't know how many times my children have hated me for keeping them safe. For telling them no to something that's going to destroy them. And they get angry with me for it. But all those things, all those sins that we desire to commit, everything that God says no to and we get mad about, those are the things that destroy us. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. And that's precisely why Jesus came, to give life. We talked about it last week. It's a verse we can share 100 times over and never grasp the incredible magnitude of it. But John 3:16, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. But God loved the world so much that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But it's not just life that we receive in 10:10, is it? I have come that you may have life, but he doesn't end there, does he? Life in abundance. Life in abundance. There's a Greek word that's used here, and it's not used very often. It's kind of a rare word, but it's parison. Parison. And I want to give you a few. I looked it up in several Greek dictionaries. I want to give you a few of the definitions of this to give you an idea, a picture of what abundance means. That which goes way beyond necessity. Exceeding measure, superior, extraordinary. Remarkable, superfluous, unnecessarily abundant. Those are some of the definitions of the Greek word that Jesus uses there. Jesus wants us to live in safety and security, but he also wants us to live in abundance. He wants us to live the most amazing life that can be imagined. And actually, he wants us to live a life beyond what we can imagine. And again, picture a loving father. Is that not what we desire for our children? I want you to have the greatest kind of life that can be had here on this earth. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it ridiculously abundantly. Superfluous abundance in your life. And where does that come from? Listening to and responding to the voice of the shepherd. Listening to and responding to the voice of the shepherd. So as we think about these things and this illustration that Jesus gives, I want to add one more layer to this. Who Jesus is, which is what we talked about last few weeks, and what that means for us, has implications for our life, and that's what we've been talking about all day today. But it also has implications for the lives around us. And that's the last thing I want to talk about. In 1 Timothy 4:16, it says, be conscientious about yourself and your teaching. Persevere in these things, for by doing this, you will save both yourselves and your hearers. And that's Paul writing to the young pastor, Timothy. But hear that again. Be conscientious about yourself, what you do, and your teaching, what you say. Persevere in these things, for by doing this, you will save both yourself and your hearers. How we respond to the voice of the shepherd has implications not just for my life, but for the lives of the people around me, the saved and the lost, my Christian brothers and sisters, and the people I work with or live by every day that don't know Christ. The way I listen to and follow the shepherd has implications for the lives around us. Leon Morris, one of the guys I read on a regular basis for my studies, says this. He says, anyone who seeks to bring life to others, but who does not themselves enter through Christ, stands condemned. The truth is, we cannot bring life. We have nothing to bring to our loved ones, to our friends, to our spouses, to our children. We have nothing but death and destruction to bring on our own. The only way we can bring life to the lives around us, and life abundantly, is if we ourselves go in and out and find pasture. We ourselves listen to the voice of our shepherd and follow him. That's the only way we can bring life to the people around us. You see, unless you are in Christ, no matter how much you want to bring life to other people, you will simply end up being a thief and a robber yourself. Because anyone who enters the sheep pen by any other way, Jesus says, is a thief or a robber. It is only through Christ that we can do those things. The only way to bring abundant life to the people around you is for you to experience it yourself every day in Jesus Christ. Let me tell you that again. The only way you can ever bring abundant life to the people around you is if you yourself experience it every single day through Jesus Christ. And with all those things in mind, I want to read a scripture that I pretty much can guarantee all of us have heard before. Even if this is your first time sitting in church, you've heard this. But I want us to think about it in light of everything we just talked about. The passage is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I lack. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. That's abundance. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. Amen. Stand up with me and we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come today, it's exciting for me to think and talk about the Good Shepherd. It's exciting for me to read through the 23rd Psalm with a fresh and new understanding of all that that means for me every single day. The truth of who you are, of your love for us, the truth of who Jesus Christ is and his love for us and his sacrifice for us, that is something that we need to know, believe and apply every single day of our lives, because that's where life comes from and that's where abundance comes from. And so, Heavenly Father, as we go through our days and our weeks and we read our Bible and we pray and we come to church and we go to Bible studies and we learn about you and who you are and what you have for us, help us to always keep in the front of our minds that in you is the one and only place that abundant life is found. So every prayer that we pray, every Bible verse we read, every praise song we sing is vitally important, because it is only from that relationship with you that abundant life comes. And then it's only from that that abundant life can flow into the lives around us. Father, use us for that beautiful, eternal purpose. Let us be people who come and go through the door, who find pasture and follow the voice of our shepherd, and let the people around us see that and come to know the Good Shepherd who loves us and cares for us. I can think of no better way to spend our life here on earth. Bless us with your guidance. Bless us with confidence. And bless us with abundance that comes from being in your flock. We love you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you.